This is Spirit Network Radio, a BBS radio production hosted by renowned clairvoyant medium Francine Milano. Spirit Network is committed to the dawning age of enlightenment, from the psychic to the holistic. If it's on the mind, body, and spirit, it's on Spirit Network.
Hello, and welcome to Spirit Network. I'm your host, Francine Milano, and I look forward to spending the next hour with you. Today, we're going to talk about psychic kids with my special guest, Reverend Rini Panzini. I can't even say it right, let alone say it wrong. But first, let me tell you about our sponsor. Today's show is brought to you by Health by Design Natural Clinic, with locations in Leola and Quarryville, Pennsylvania. Visit healthbydesignnaturally.com or call 717-556-8103. Health by Design, where science and nature come together. My guest today, Reverend Rini, she works with gifted children and their families. She's going to share some information about psychic kids, experiences with her work, and she'll take your questions live. So if you have a psychic child, or even if you don't, call the studio toll-free. Our number is 888-627-6008, or you can email a question to radio@spiritnetwork.com. Rini, welcome to the show.
Hi. Thanks.
Sorry for butchering your name. I mean, Rini Panzini, how do you get that wrong, right?
Really?
You can't say it three times fast, though. So tell me, let's talk first about your background. I know you're not tackling issues of psychic kids like from a religious point of view, but our listeners should know that you're a minister, not the mail order kind, but you actually, by profession, you are a wedding officiant, correct?
Right. Yes.
Okay. Now, tell us about your calling in this regard. Like, how did that come about?
Okay. Well, like you said, I am a legally ordained interfaith minister, meaning that I actually went to a physical seminary. I took classes and I was ordained. And you're right, I'm not tackling the issues of psychic kids from a religious point of view. And that's because psychic kids are not from any one specific religious group.
So there's no exorcisms going on.
Right, no. Absolutely not. So these psychic kids can be found in all cultural and religious backgrounds, but their psychic experiences can be formed by the things that they're taught in church or temple. And so being an interfaith minister helps me to relate to them and kind of understand where they're coming from. As for my calling and how that came to be, I was a psychic kid from as far back as I can remember. And let me tell you, I have a great memory. I can remember things from when I was around 18 months old.
Wow.
And I don't know. Yeah, it's kind of crazy. It's good and then not so good. I don't know if that has anything to do with the gifts I was born with, but I do find that psychic kids in general have great memories. So, I don't know. Maybe it goes together.
Yeah, but you're not a professional psychic.
No.
Is that something you ever wanted to do?
Not really. Not anything I ever put much thought into. It's more of a helping kids and families kind of thing.
Right. Because I was actually a psychic child myself at one time. I did have an interesting memory when I was a baby, but most of that came in early teens. And I have to say, my mother was very supportive of my gifts. Mm-hmm. Now, being able to embrace them may not have placed me here where I am today, but it's certainly good that I didn't have to fear it, you know, and I think a lot of people do that. And I'm sure there's many parents who never, you know, have never dealt with their own families and they're at a loss. You know, this is a very weird subject to a lot of people. And, I get a lot of calls about, from parents about their kids, and I usually end up referring them to you. So for these frazzled parents, you know, looking for answers, you know, let me throw a couple of questions at you.
Okay.
What are the most common signs that a parent might, you know, see in a gifted child?
Well, as you well know, there's nothing common about any of this. And there are tons of different ways of showing psychic ability. But there are a couple of different types of psychic abilities that most of the signs would fall under. So there's clairaudience, which is the ability to hear sounds and voices that are outside of the natural range of hearing. And then there's clairsentience, which covers a number of things, such as the ability to read people or spirits, and their physical state as well as their emotional state. So clairaudience is hearing things, and clairsentience is feeling things. So with that in mind, these two abilities are the ones that a parent or a family member would most likely be able to notice. So you might be thinking, you know, does your kid look like they're listening to something when no one seems to be talking to them? Or does your kid have a strong reaction to certain people, you know, good or not so good? And you don't know where that's coming from. Maybe they never met them before. And for the young kids, you know, do they spend a lot of time on their own? Are they playing outside in the yard with what seems to be like no one for hours? And, you know, maybe they're not alone. Maybe they have a playmate that you just don't see.
And what ages would you be talking about, basically? I mean, you're not going to see a 15-year-old playing out in the yard.
Right, exactly. Now, this usually starts, I usually work with families with young kids. I would say starting at 3 or 4 years old.
Wow.
Yeah, where they start to see these little quirky things. Because, you know, I think that's the age that you're really paying attention to their development.
Yeah.
And anything that's kind of off from, you know, the typical, in quotation, kids, because no kids are typical, is something that stands out. So I think at that age is when the parents really start to notice something.
Yeah. Do you work with older children? I mean, is that something you would consider?
Yeah.
Because my talent really didn't show up until I was about 13 for the most part.
Yeah, that's interesting. Well, see, now my experience was when I was very, very young, I started having dreams about a grandfather who had passed when I was one. So I never really knew him. And he would come to me and talk to me just as if he was there every day and give me little tips and tricks and, you know, things for life and tell me to stay close to this certain cousin and family member, stuff like that. And so my family, when I was very little, they would kind of smile, not say much. But as I got older, just because they didn't know any better, and I'm sure it was scary to them and they were afraid for me, they kind of, you know, hushed it. Don't tell anybody. People think you're crazy. It's
sure,
just your imagination. Yeah. So as I got older, I thought, wow, maybe it really is just my imagination. Maybe I am a little nuts. So I stopped it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I would still maybe have a little visit here and there for important moments in life.
Right.
But, it wasn't an everyday thing like it was when I was little. So,
right, but
for me,
do you still
kind of went
think
opposite.
You're a little crazy?
Yes. You know I do.
I know I do, but anyway, I digress. Go ahead.
So for me, it went the other way. And then when I started having my own kids, I started to see they were experiencing what I experienced when I was little. And I said, all right, well, this is going to go a good way for them. And so that's when I started studying everything. And that's what led me to where I am now.
Very cool. And you're happy with where you are now. And I know you help a lot of people.
Yeah.
Now, do you find that children with special needs, like autism, show more or less of their intuitive gifts?
Well, you know, I am a mother of an autistic teenager, and so I have a lot of thoughts on it, but I will say that I'm only speaking for myself and for my own child, but I do believe that since she's been a very little baby, even not even a toddler, but a baby, that she has showed signs of clairaudience and clairsentience, and I'm convinced that the veil that separates us from the spirit world is just much thinner for kids with special needs. And I think a lot of parents of kids with special needs believe the same thing.
Sure. Well, and even children that don't have special needs, you know, the innocence of, you know, where they came from, and they don't have the adult worries that bog us down.
Mm-hmm.
So I would think that even with children that with autism and similar situations,
that they hold on to that innocence.
Sorry?
They hold on to that innocence.
Yeah, and the left brain, though, if it's not really fully developed or, you know, whatever the situation might be, the right brain is going to compensate. And that's just speaking for myself. I don't really, can't really quote a lot of scientific research for that. But it's just been my experience. I mean, you're not going to be able to quote a lot of scientific research in anything in this field. For real. So that's very interesting. So does your daughter's a teenager now, does she still have these experiences?
She does. Yeah, she does. And to her, they are just regular everyday occurrences. It's, you know, she doesn't run to me and say, "Mom, guess what, you know, guess who I saw or I talked to." Like, she'll just matter-of-factly say something like, you know, "I was talking to Grandpa and he said blah, blah, blah," but not realizing that this is somebody who's not physically here.
Does she say anything like really profound? Like, how would she know that? I mean, obviously there's more.
When she was little, she did. Now she's kind of, you know, she's got into some more teenage years, so she's not very forthcoming with her info.
Sure.
Still a teenager. But she does spend a lot of time with herself. And I do hear her having conversations in her room when I know nobody's there with her. And she's answering questions and stuff to people that I can't see. So
I might need to interview her.
Yes, you might need to. She's got a whole other thing going on.
Now, are some of the parents who contact you actually psychically develop themselves, or is this something genetic that you find in your experience, or they're just have like no clue?
Well, at first I would say, or they would say no, right? They're not. But once we get down into the nitty gritty of what's going on and of what issues are coming up for their kids, more often than not, they'll have like an aha moment and say something like, "Oh my gosh, I totally remember doing that when I was a kid," you know.
Wow.
And then, and then some abilities start to surface in the parents just as they're trying to help the kid work through whatever they're working through.
Right.
And it's pretty wild. And, you know, whether their talents or gifts are resurfacing or they're brand new, I don't know. But it happens. I've seen it. It's pretty wild.
Right. Well, it just goes to show you that I think that we all have the gift.
Right. Yeah.
But, you know, we're either just, I don't know, oblivious to it. We turn it off. I'm not sure what it is, you know. And then a lot of people that I help develop are really in their 20s and 30s. You know, it's just that we've gotten dealt with all those difficult college years and getting married and the pressures of having kids. And then it's like, okay, now I can get back to my roots and make my spiritual choices. You know, so there's more of a coming back together, calming and ease. And then, of course, then they become grandparents and when it's all over again. So going to bring them back to earth. So we really have to get, you know, people developing at the best times in their own life.
Yeah.
You know, so I have been asked by a lot of parents to help their children develop. And I never, I rarely think that that's a good idea.
Right.
I feel that, you know, there was one, in fact, I really do believe that she just wanted to be a pageant mom and really get her kid doing readings and get her TV gigs and, you know, make her famous.
Like Psychic Honey Boo Boo.
Yeah. I think her kid was a little older than that, but, oh, could you imagine having a reading with Honey Boo Boo? Damn, why did you bring that up? I've got terrible coach. I'm going to have nightmares now. But, oh, gosh, no, the visual. Thank you very much for that.
You're welcome.
But truly, I've sent probably two people to you anyway. One, I just said, you know, I just don't think that this is the right path. But some just don't really know what to do. I just don't think the development in creating a career path for them at, you know, 10 years old really is the answer. I mean, I think that what you do, and correct me if I'm wrong, you're really there to help families embrace the gift.
Right.
Rather than to hide it under the table, you know, don't tell Aunt Ethel, you know, they're going to laugh at you. And no, and they still probably don't tell Aunt Ethel. I'm sure of that.
Right.
You know, a lot of people don't. But at like in my case, where I may not have been totally encouraged, but I wasn't discouraged either. You know, and I had told people just let them be kids. You know.
Right.
So do you have to convince parents sometimes to do that, or do they want you to? Oh, Reverend Reaney, just take it away. take this curse away.
Oh, these poor kids. I think mostly they're confused. The parents themselves are confused, you know, because it's a whole different generation now, right? It's a whole different world now. It's the new millennium. So everything is out there. And they don't have to be so afraid or so secretive, but they don't know how not to be. So I think what they come to me for is a little support for the family so they don't have to be so afraid. And support for the kids so that the kids can learn to cope with it and the kids can kind of learn to have a power over their own gift so it's not running rampant through the house, you know.
Do they tend to be kind of scared when they come to you? I mean, the child or who? Maybe the parents more afraid.
Well, I think, I think the parents, to me, seem more afraid than the kids do, but I also feel sometimes that the parents scare the kids. You know, it's
like
always my first matter of discussion is to keep it light with these kids, like not to scare them. Don't ask them to compare it to something they've seen in the movies, because I'm a big believer in intention and manifestation. And if you plant the seed of, is it like what you saw on The Exorcist? You don't want a kid to have that in their head.
Oh my
There's
goodness,
no reason
no.
for that. You know?
I would imagine that kids really think that's just normal. Doesn't everybody do this? Until we tell them it's not, right?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. The younger kids, you know, are kind of looking like, what are we talking about? What's the big deal?
Right.
And as the kids are a little older, they're more self-conscious, I think, of it, because maybe their friends don't talk about it. But, you know, I think every kid has it. I think every kid probably thinks that they're, you know, a little weird or a little different. And I wish they would have a class in public school about it. You know, just don't worry about it, kids. You all kind of have it. But,
yeah, that's the day funding really stops.
Yeah, imagine that. That would be
It would
cool.
be nice. It was hard enough just to get a class on balancing your checkbook or something in real life, but this would be really out there. But that's what we have you for, that education, and that people need to know that you're out there, because I think what you offer is probably quite rare. Now, do you know anybody else in your field that you do this, that do this?
I don't. No, I think people that I've heard of are mostly working with adults and trying to help them develop. Not so much as with kids and trying to give kids the coping skills and stuff to deal with it. Because I'm definitely not trying to help them develop their ability. It's more of a how to get a handle on it and then decide when you're older what you want to do with it.
Exactly. That makes total sense.
Yeah.
And I think that maybe parents do, you know, they could panic. And you're that voice of reason.
That's me.
That's you, of course.
That's me.
Now, listen, I have like a lot of stories about people, you know, clients, and very weird stories that I couldn't possibly divulge. But I'm thinking, without breaking any confidences, of course, can you share any bizarre or interesting cases of your own?
Tell you, I don't really have any juicy or bizarre stories to share.
Oh, come on. No.
No, I really don't. You know, maybe it's just me, but nothing really surprises me or shocks me.
Well, I can intervene then with one of my own.
Okay.
Because this isn't a client confidentiality, because this actually wasn't a client of mine at the time. This was, in fact, it was so long ago. I believe it was a client's friend. whose son, I'm going to say he was at around age of 7, all of a sudden, out of the blue, started speaking fluent German. You would call that bizarre, right?
Yeah.
So not only was he speaking German, I mean, he would speak English and then a few German sentences would come out. I don't think that the mother was speaking German. She didn't know what he was saying, mm-hmm. but mm-hmm. it turned out that he was started to speak derogatory about women. Oh. He started talking about referencing Nazi Germany.
Oh, no.
Yes. Very, very weird. Now, in this case, most likely a case of reincarnation. Right, and where does a child of that age know of any of this?
Mm-hmm.
So have you ever seen that maybe their gift comes, like where their gift is coming from? Like, have you ever seen anything that anybody talk about, like past life or another era, perhaps?
I would say from my own experience with my own kids, I've heard lots of past life stuff.
Yeah, that's bizarre.
Yeah, which is pretty cool. And I try to write some stuff down, you know, so when they're older, I can say, you know, you said this and you did that. But with other people, I don't think I get calls for kids that are experiencing past life stuff. So maybe the parents are, you know, in 2013, more aware of the difference between kids experiencing past lives and kids speaking the spirit. Yeah, I don't know if, does it go together? That's something I need to think about.
Oh, well, I'm so glad we could have this conversation.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for giving me more to look up.
You mentioned when you were writing things down, before I met mm-hmm. you and had a place to refer people to, mm-hmm. I often got the question, what should I do for my child? And I used mm-hmm. to say one thing that would help is if you kept a mommy journal. And if you wrote those experiences down, this child might mm-hmm. might find it useful later if they mm-hmm. did want to develop mm-hmm. or they had an interest. Because most likely, this gift is going to start getting tucked away a little bit, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
You know, so I don't know if you usually suggest what you do, what you've done is to write things down. Mm-hmm. But how cool, if my mother had done that, I really would have appreciated it.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's for sure.
Yeah,
I'm sure that your
thing.
Parents did not do that because they were stifling you.
No, there was shut no
up.
Writing going on back then.
Yeah. Shut up. People are going to talk. Now, when a child asks about psychic or paranormal events that are happening mm-hmm. around them, you know, I mean, I'm sure that some children don't think it's just normal. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe it's how mm-hmm. active they really are, but right. how does a parent deal with the answers? I mean, even if they have them,
mm-hmm.
just like age appropriate.
Right. Yeah. I mean, age appropriate. Yeah. You have to judge on what you think the kid is going to understand. But I mean, mostly for any kid, I would say from age 3 to, you know, 11, once they hit 12 and they look at you like, Mom, please don't try to talk to me like I'm a baby. That's a whole other subject. But when they're little, you can definitely be very gentle with your words and mm-hmm. don't over-talk it. I would say, you know, make sure they know that they're safe and that nothing's going to hurt them and that it is a gift, so it's a good thing, and that maybe a spirit, you know, is trying to just say hello, or a spirit maybe needs their help in some way, needs them to pass on a message. And they're getting the communication because they're special, you know, and they have this special gift.
That's nice to make them feel special. But what
right.
are there, have you run into any cases that maybe the contact hasn't been so good?
You know, that happens a lot. And I tend to believe it's from where their experience is coming from. I really don't think, like I've had people tell me, well, my child says that there's this, you know, spirit in the house that's yelling at them. And I say, well, let's try to tell your son or daughter that the spirit isn't really yelling, but it's using all its energy to try to get this message through, and it doesn't know what else to do but yell. So it's not yelling to be mean. You know, I try to kind uh-huh. of de-escalate the situation so
right.
the kid isn't afraid. And, you know, I just try to have them feel like they have the power to say, I don't want this gift right now. And no, you can't talk to me right now. And then there's a whole bunch of coping skills that go with that, where they can do certain meditations and create certain things to kind of empower themselves to be able to open their gift or close their gift when they want to.
Okay. Yeah, so nobody's ever really woke up with bite marks on their legs or, you
No,
know.
not any kid. I've heard adults. I've heard about a lot of adults that happens. It's
Right.
awful.
Right.
But I haven't
And I've
heard about
heard
any
the
kids.
whole family wakes up with bite marks.
Yeah.
I've heard that too, but I didn't know if this
Oh.
was just a child that kind of has a portal open to the lower energies rather than the higher energies. And when we have the lower energies, it's hard to say you're special. You know what I mean? So I was wondering if
Right.
you'd
So
ever
that's, yeah.
encountered that.
So that's when you
Yeah.
really push on the how to empower yourself to close it and that kind of thing.
Yeah. So you mentioned meditations for children. Do you know of any, or do you have any that you recommend?
I do. I do a meditation with families. I call it Doors. And it is kind of about having your own door in your mind, and it's a verbal meditation, so they can kind of follow along. And they walk up these stairs, and they picture the door, and they can open the door and say, "Okay, the door is now open. If you have something to say to me, you can say it." And then they can say, "I'm closing the door now. You can't talk to me when the door is closed." And then they close the door in their mind, and they go back down the steps and into their own life. And after a while, they're able to kind of just open and shut the door, when they want to. They don't have to go through the whole long meditation. It's not that long.
Very,
It's maybe about 10 minutes. But once they get
very
used to
good.
it, after a while, it's a good kind of intention thing for opening and closing. And then I have some craft things we do that have to do with doors. It's all kind of based around doors.
Yeah, so that's interesting, that meditation, because I was wondering that I don't come across too many meditations for children in my travels, but I do know that there are some, even commercial guided meditations. So let me see. I do have one other question. Can you offer any coping skills for our listeners on how to deal with a psychic child? Let's say you're not available. Just some real blanket kind of protection that somebody wants to know, what do I do with my child right now?
Okay. I would say that first and foremost, go at it in a positive kind of fashion. Don't be nervous. Try not to be nervous. I know as a mom, it's hard not to be nervous, but take a breath and count to 10 and try to get your kid calm. I would say find something that they can carry with them that makes them feel protected. What I like to do is I have kids make a doorknob hanger. And you can get them in the craft store. They're just these little foam things. And we paint dragonflies and butterflies on them because they can be
Oh.
very protective. And they then can hang that on their doorknob so nobody, including spirits and or little brothers or sisters, can go in their room. And so that's one of their protection things. And then I also have them carry around a little business card size picture of a dragonfly or a butterfly. And so they always have it with them. So if they're not in
That's
their room
wonderful.
with their door hanger, they can go to school with the dragonfly in their pocket, and they can, say affirmation, "My dragonfly is with me. Nobody can bother me." And that
That's
goes more.
wonderful. Wonderful
Yeah.
advice. Thank you.
You're
Now, I
welcome.
want to go over to the mailbag. We did get a couple
Okay.
email questions I'm going to send your
Cool.
way. Marcy from Chicago wants to know, Reverend Reenie, my 6-year-old son says he talks to my dad who died in 2011. We do try to keep his memory alive, so I know he remembers his pop-pop, but could you tell me if this could just be an imaginary friend? No one else in the house has these experiences. Like, how does she know? I guess is what she's
Well,
asking.
I would say that you can never know 100% unless you're experiencing it yourself. But I would say have faith in your son and, believe that he is talking to his grandpa. And, I wouldn't question him on it unless it's, well, what did he say? I think it's great. I think that you can believe, he's six. He's 6 years
Yeah.
old. I would believe it. Let him hold on to that belief that this is what's happening for him. It's awesome.
Great. Thank you, Marcy. And
Yeah.
Jennifer from York, PA wants to know, what are indigo and crystal children, and is there a difference between them? Is that up your alley?
Well, I know about indigo and crystal children. There's also, I think, now rainbow children.
Or Blu-ray.
Right. Is that the newest? Is that the newest, the Blu-ray?
I think the Blu-ray, I'm not sure.
I think I just read about that myself a couple of weeks ago. I really, you know, I don't believe in the different titles of different kinds of kids. I think it was a good kind of introduction to the public for people to, I don't know, kind of, is it catchy or kitschy or whatever the word is?
Yeah, cheeky. They're definitely categorized. Who made those rules? I believe that crystal children are supposed to be children with autism that are gifted. Is that right?
Oh, I don't know. Was that specifically?
Yeah,
that
I believe so. And rainbow indigos were the first generation. Well, they can't be children anymore, to be honest with you, at this point. And so every generation, they need a new name, I guess.
Right. So
they're
then I wonder what
gifted.
I was. If I was like raised in the 70s, I was like Technicolor or something.
I'm sure I
back.
Were
my mom
colorful.
Was like the black and white.
You were very colorful, I'm sure. And let's see now. Tell us a little bit more about your work with the psychic children. I know you're in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. Do you offer like family sessions, workshops? Tell us what you actually do in your office.
Okay. Well, right now I'm actually putting together I don't really want to call it a support group. It's really just kind of a hangout group for psychic kids and their families. What we do is we talk a little bit about being psychic and what it means and the different types of things kids can share with each other. And the parents are there really not to talk too much, but to just let the kids talk. And that way the parents are in the background. They hear what the kids are talking about to each other. We do some coloring and we play some word games, and it helps them to be around other kids, I guess, that are experiencing the same thing. I've had workshops with families before, and it worked out pretty well. So I'm trying to get maybe a quarterly group together. And I also do personal consultations in homes for families that aren't comfortable yet with coming out and meeting other families.
Understandable. When you do these workshops or support group together, do you, during the word games or what have you, do you tend to talk about the gifts? I mean, do they talk about that together in the sessions?
They do. It's kind of cool.
That is neat. Now, do other kids like relate to what one child is saying? Like, I do that too?
Yes. Yes, they totally do. And then I can see the parents' faces and I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't believe it. You know, they never told me that. And it's fun. It's a lot of fun. They have a lot of fun. They're very relaxed. And we do silly stuff. You know me, I'm silly. And it's nice. It's good for them. It's good for the kids.
Is it more often than not that siblings will have the same situation, have the same
not
gift?
Not really. I don't find that. And I think it's possible that they do have the same gifts, but maybe, you know how kids are, they're a little competitive in the houses, so they want to say like, well, you're the nutty one and I don't do that, or I do this, and, you know, they all want to have their own thing.
Right. I know this business for you, you know, you haven't been doing this for like decades or anything, and I know that your business is still growing. Mm-hmm. Do you offer phone consultations for those who aren't local?
I do. I like to do a short free consultation by phone or Skype, and then, to see if the family and I kind of mesh or on the same page, and then we take it from there and we make, you know, Skype appointments or phone appointments.
Oh, very good. Very good. You just have them go to the craft store, I guess.
That's right. I go, stuff, go buy the foam door hanger and the butterflies, the tacky glue and the glitter.
Well, that's great. That's great for people listening to the show now. So how can people actually contact you after the broadcast? You have phone number, website, whatever you want to give.
Okay. I can be contacted through email at revrini@gmail.com. That's REVREENIE at gmail.com. And my phone number is 717-575-8850. Or they can check out my website. It's www.renipanzini.com. It's easy to say, Francine.
And, easy to say, easy to spell. Go ahead and spell that one for them.
Okay. www.REENIEPANZINI.com. And it's always right, under some kind of construction, so you'll have to bear with me. If you don't see what you're looking for, just send me an email.
Okay, that sounds good. Well, we'll give you contact information again at the top of the hour. Let me switch gears with you, if I can, for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to bring up, since we were talking about psychic children anyway, I wanted to mention something else about psychic children, get your input on this, too, and because it's a little fascinating and it's a little disturbing, I have to say. Have you heard about the Chinese military training children to be psychic? Have you ever heard that?
Small info. I don't have all the info.
Yeah. I heard about it like many, many years ago, a couple decades actually. And honestly, at that time, I didn't think much of it.
Mm-hmm.
And but recently, I came across this book online called China's Super Psychics. It's authored by Paul Dong and Thomas E. Raphael. And on Amazon.com, the brief book description reads, according to Paul Dong, the Chinese health discipline, Qigong, I think you may have heard of that, generates psychic abilities, insert, I did not know that, which may explain China's numerous psychics and why, since 1982, the Chinese government has been studying and supporting the work of psychics for medical and military purposes. Now, I don't know of any Chinese psychic hotlines, so I'm thinking, you know, they've really got them under wraps, but apparently there's a lot of them. And for medical purposes, I think that gifted psychics are wonderful, but for military purposes, don't you think that's a little scary?
That's a lot scary.
Yeah, I mean, our government has used remote viewers for many years. But it seems like this seems really huge, and it's right out in the open. I mean, at least our government, you know, tried to keep it under wraps, I think. But I also want to read.
Movie came out.
What's that?
The Men Who Stare at Goats.
The Men Who. Oh, I heard of that. I don't think I saw it, though.
That's what it was about, I think.
Really? I have to take a look at that.
Yeah.
But this is very interesting. You know, because, you know, it's one thing to work with children and bring up their gifts. It's another one to exploit them and use them as military warfare. But I want to read a couple of excerpts of an article I found at www.psychicchildren.co.uk, which seems to be a review of the book called China's Super Psychics. The authors state that millions of dollars have been spent on researching EHF, or extra human function, in these children. Schools and research centers are widespread throughout the country. By 1997, 100,000 of these children had been recognized. No research has revealed the number at present, but it is clear the numbers are increasing rapidly. Now, to get on to the incredible mind-bending abilities of some of these children have, let's start with some gems from the book, China's Super Psychics. One skill the children were able to develop was psychic writing, a technique where they were asked to imagine some written words on a blank piece of paper inside a closed pencil case. The case would be opened a short time later, and on it were the words written in pencil. A girl from Shanghai was the first to demonstrate this ability. And so in 1981, EHF researchers from Hunan Wenshin Teachers College in Yunnan Province selected five children with EFH for further training. It was soon to be found that when blindfolded, these children were able to see with their ears, nose, mouth, tongue, armpits, hands, or feet. These tests were not just right some of the time, they were flawless. American New Age magazine, Omni, got involved when the tests were set up to check that there were no cheating going on. From the stack of books that one was selected, then opened at random, and a page was ripped out and crumpled into a small ball. It was placed in the armpit of one of the children, and the child could read every word on the page perfectly. After more tests, Omni magazine became convinced these children were for real. But Omni were not the only ones present. Zhu Yiyi, editor of Shanghai's Nature magazine, a prestigious science journal, also witnessed these events. On another occasion, 1,000 people were sitting in an auditorium, and each were given a rosebud. A 6-year-old girl came on the stage, and silently, with a wave of her hand, the 1,000 rosebuds would slowly open, fully blossom into beautiful roses before the eyes of the astonished audience. Another child would take a sealed bottle off a shelf at random and place it at the center of a table. After a few minutes, the pills passed through the glass bottle and settled on the table. In many cases, the child would then take another object, such as a coin, put it on the table, and it would pass back into the sealed bottle. Really weird, Rini. So my question is, why is this Chinese military sponsoring something like this? Yes,
that's
exactly.
Incredible.
And I believe it. I totally believe this because
I do too.
And you know a little bit about spiritualism, you know, mm-hmm. I'm talking about traditional British.
Yes.
The voice box, the cabinet with the ectoplasm, all of these mm-hmm. things that we don't mm-hmm. do that stuff anymore.
No.
You know, I mean, that was real mm-hmm. tangible evidential mediumship.
Right.
These
right.
are things that, you know, you look at it and it's just mind-boggling.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking, you know, a lot of these children from the 80s, they're not children anymore.
No.
So these are adults having mm-hmm. children, probably going through the same thing. So I expect we're going to hear more about this
mm-hmm.
as time mm-hmm. goes on. So I hadn't heard about it for 20 years. All of a sudden it's there. And, you know, I think they all need to call you, actually, and get deprogrammed, I guess.
Oh, my gosh. I'm going to have to learn Chinese. Now I have more work to do.
That's so funny. So, but it's disturbing.
But I must.
It really is. It really is. So you're going to have to study that because people might be asking you about that next time.
Yeah, that's interesting. Very interesting.
Yeah. So, again, I want you to tell us how we can get in touch with you
okay.
for appointments and phone consultations. You're in Lancaster, PA, but, of course, mm-hmm. you are available to anyone at any time, right?
Yeah, anyone at
okay,
any
no.
time.
I'm sure
even
you have office
I'll get back
hours.
To you.
Just quick with the phone number, website, and email address.
Okay. Website is www.renipanzini.com. That's RENIEPANZINI.com. My email is revrini@gmail.com. That's revrenie@gmail.com. And my phone number is 717-575-8850.
Rini, it was wonderful to talk to you. And
thank
to get insights
you.
About psychic kids, especially for parents. I know that they appreciate it. And thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you for having me. It was wonderful.
Wonderful. We'll talk soon.
Okay, great.
Okay, bye-bye. Now, I want to, before we go, I want to talk to you a little bit about Ayoshi cards. Now, if you have not had your free online reading yet, please go to ayoshicards.com right now. It's ioshicards.com. You can also reach that link from spiritnetwork.com. Problems in relationship, job, money issues, simply ask a question, click on the cards, and get your answer. The Ayoshi cards were actually channeled by one of my closest spirit guides, Ayoshi. He wanted to offer a tool that people could use for guidance and empowerment. I get so many compliments on this online oracle as well as on the physical deck, but I really can't take much more credit for it, really. I mean, Ayoshi even chose the artwork. So go on ayoshicards.com or spiritnetwork.com, try the free reading, and please let me know what you think. You can email me back at radio@spiritnetwork.com. Now, if you'd like to be a sponsor on Spirit Network, we have a lot of advertising options. So just email me at radio@spiritnetwork.com for that. And if you want to be a guest, email me at radio@spiritnetwork.com. All right. Now, today's show was brought to you by Health by Design Natural Clinic. They have two locations, one in Leola, PA, and the other one in Quarryville, PA. They help a lot of people. I have used them personally. I absolutely recommend them. They have specialize in nutrition, hormonal imbalance, great with menopause. They have classes and workshops galore. But if you are not in the area, go on their website. They have a great lot of articles. They have a blog. I don't know if they do. I think they might do consultations. Just take a look at their website. It is healthbydesignnaturally.com, or you can call them at 717-556-8103. Health by Design, where science and nature come together. Well, that's it for today's show. Thank you so much for joining us, and you take care of yourself. Love much. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Spirit Network Radio. For more information about the show, please visit spiritnetwork.com. For more information about your host, psychic medium Francine Milano, visit her website at francinemilano.com. Until next time, remember that peace begins with an open heart.